Hey, everybody, this is Adam Alexander from NASCAR on Fox. You're listening to the Front Stretch Podcast with Brian Nolan.
Hello, beautiful people. It is the week of July the 26th. NASCAR finally put the hammer down to disqualification and DQ to winner. And this program begins now. What is going on? My name, like always, is Mr. Brian Timothy Dale Nolan on this week's edition of the program. Dalton Hopkins, one of our superstars in the business for Front Stretch, is going to join the program. He broke some news earlier on Tuesday. We're going to talk about that first thing. And then Chase Purdy, driver of the number 61 truck for Hattori Racing. He joined the program, and we talked about him living in Tuscaloosa, but him not being an Alabama fan because he went to Ole Miss. We'll talk about his second full-time season in the Camping World Truck Series and more. And then we got to talk about the wildness that happened at Pocono. We're going to preview Indy. We got so much to do it in a short amount of time. Let's get it going. Let's wave the green flag.
Boogity, boogity, boogity. Let's go racing, boys.
Green flag is out. Green flag is out. Dalton Hopkins joins the program. First time Dalton's been on the long edition of the program with the podcast that we have. He's been on SCS for a few times and nothing but good stuff that I've heard from this guy there. Dalton, what's going on, my dude? You are a rising superstar in the world of Front Stretch, so I'm definitely happy to have you on. What's going on, bro?
You think you're happy. I'm even more happy. I'm so glad. What a character you are. I mean, this is... It's been about 30 seconds since I've gotten here, and already what a character. I love the energy, but man, you know, I wish we had some things to talk about.
I know, right? It's just like, I wonder what happened. Oh, wait, everything happened. I mean, if there was a week to describe to a non-NASCAR person, I don't even know where to start, to be honest. I mean, you got DQs, you got people winning that didn't even lead a lap, you got people leaving their current ride, you got people joining new rides, and then you have former other series, Formula One, IndyCar, potentially driving in NASCAR. I mean, you got so many stuff to talk about. Let's just dive right into it. Dalton, you talked with a Xfinity Series driver, one of our good friends for Front Stretch, Brandon Brown. We are doing a little four-part podcast series. Dalton is hosting it with Brandon Brown. Unfortunately, some bad news for Brandon. What did he tell you this afternoon regarding his status in the number 68 car?
Yeah, so I think most people probably already know that Brandon's not going to be in the 68 for this weekend at Indianapolis. And unfortunately, I talked to him today a little bit more about it. I just wanted to get his thoughts on it. And he gave me a little bit more. He told me that it's very likely he will not be in the 68. He'll only be in 68 for a handful of races before the end of the year, for the rest of the year. And it's so unfortunate that that's what's happening now. That's where he is in sponsorship issues. They just can't seem to find the funding. So he told me that Daytona, Talladega are definitely on the list for him to drive, and that's really all he knows about right now. So it's very up in the air, but as of right now, it looks like the 68 is going to go the way of the 48 in the Xfinity Series.
And that's a shame, Dalton, because Brandon's had some good runs. I mean, he finished third at, what was it, New Hampshire? I mean, this guy's not just running 10th to 15th every week. This guy's solidly in the top 10 mostly every single week.
That's what I told him earlier. I said, what a terrible time to make this decision, because we're only just a few races away from the playoffs beginning the Xfinity Series. And he was peaking. He was running really well in Atlanta. Then he got caught up in an incident. And then New Hampshire, he ran third. And now we're deciding, oh, well, he's probably not going to be in the car. He might get some select races here and there with some other teams, like he is this weekend with Mike Harmon Racing. But let's face it, it's not going to get him in the playoffs. It's just not going to get him there. So I hate to say it, but it just looks like that their playoff bid may very well be over. And it's just so unfortunate that it completely of outside causes, had nothing to do with his racing, nothing to do with his statistics. He was running really well, like you said, and this is where it's ended up.
unfortunate for him. Hopefully that he will get some sponsorship so he will be able to get back in that number 68 car or whatever car that he can find. But just unfortunate news for the number 68 driver, formerly now of Brandon Brown, except for a few starts. We'll get back to the Xfinity Series in just a little bit. Dalton, let's switch it back over to Sunday. I mean, there's so many things to talk about. I don't know where to start. Let's start with the winner. Denny Hamlin wins the seventh race at Pocono, and then everybody stopped in their tracks for the first time since 1960. First place got disqualified. Not just first place, but second place as well. That means fourth win for Chase Elliott. The playoff points and the stage points go out for Kyle Busch and for Denny Hamlin. Your overall thoughts on NASCAR doing what they did for the first time since 40 years ago, plus they disqualified a guy, and the people that saw the winner do burnouts, do pictures in victory lane, they're going to see the finishing result have Chase Elliott and not Denny Hamlin as the winner. Overall, your thoughts?
So let me tell you a little anecdote. So there I am. I'm writing my column piece for the weekend, thinking out loud. Writing for my column piece, I'm almost done. I mean, I have maybe about, and it's all about Denny Hamlin, how great Denny Hamlin is looking now, how Kyle Busch is looking now, and of course, the incident with Ross Chastain, and I'm sure we'll get to that in a minute. But all of these things that are happening, probably about, I don't know, at this point, probably about 1,500 words, something like that. Worked really hard on this for a couple hours. And then I've got maybe about a paragraph left. And then I get the word. It puts up, I'm sure you saw it in our chat, that the racing news, the news broke out. No, Hamlin and Kyle Busch were disqualified. I literally dropped my drink on the coffee table. I could not, I yelled it here in my house. I could not believe that this was happening. I was like, you know what? But this is the time that we're in right now. And you know what? Kudos to NASCAR. Because if they see something that's wrong, how many times have we seen in the past that a driver has failed post-race inspection and then people have yelled, no, they need to be disqualified. They don't deserve to win. And, but you know, it's been a while since we've actually revamped these post-race inspection penalties. And I can't believe it took this long for a Cup Series driver to be disqualified, but here we are. And it's happened before in the past, but now it's in the Cup Series. It seems huge. It's a sign of the times that NASCAR really has changed a little bit in the last few years.
Yeah, I was with you. I didn't drop my drink, but I did. I was like, oh my God. And my fiance, She's on the PS4 with her cousin, her best friend. She's like, what just happened? I was like, the first place and the second place guy just got DQ'd. And she's like, holy crap. And this comes from a girl that she doesn't really watch race. She knows about it and everything. Like she knew the significance of this. And so like that being said, this is huge. This is a big, big deal. And Chase Elliott basically said that he didn't even really think of this as a win. Obviously it's going to count as a win, but the thing is like he didn't get to celebrate. He didn't get to do the hat dance where he gets 38 different hats and does 38 different pictures. The thing is though, it's just, sure, you get the 5 extra bonus points, whoop-de-doo, you get another win under your belt, yay. But thing is, you like he said, I crossed checkered line third, so I really didn't win this race. So I mean, with that being said, it's a little piece. Well, first off, it was a little, they said vinyl, and then they retracted their statement that said tape. It was a little piece of tape that got first place and second place out of there, DQ'd, first time since the 1960s. So like you said, Dalton, kudos to NASCAR for stepping up and saying, this may be controversial and this may be disappointing for all parties involved, but we got to do what we got to do. So kudos to NASCAR for sticking to their guns. Also sticking to their guns, Denny Hamlin, Ross Chastain. Dalton, we knew this was coming. I mean, we knew this was coming. I didn't think it would be so soon. But you going into turn one, Ross Chastain on the outside, Denny Hamlin on the inside. Hamlin goes up the track, nowhere for Ross Chastain to go. He gets into the wall, collects Kevin Harvick. Chastain's deal, Chastain's race is done. Overall, is this feud over? Are they even? Because Chastain got into Hamlin twice. This is only the first one. So, Dalton, are they even?
I'm surprised it happened at all. I'll be honest with you. Oh. So many people we've heard in the last couple of weeks, if you listen to anybody, they've all said, oh, no, it's all hot air. It's all just gas. It's dust in the wind, whatever. Denny's saying he's at his peak. It's over. He's not going to do it. He's not going to get him, you know, oh, yeah, whatever. He's not going to get him back. You know, Denny said that, you know, he's making all these accusations or not accusations, but threats, really idle threats, as I like to say. And he actually got him back. Well, in a way, but it wasn't quite direct. He really just, he did it in the smartest way that, you know, he could. He held his line in a very aggressive way. Yeah, you could argue that he shoved Ross up the racetrack and Ross hit the wall because of it, but he didn't. It's not like he flat out turned right into him and wrecked him or hooked him or anything like that. He just raced him super aggressively, kind of like how Ross has done in the last few weeks. So honestly, I'm just happy that we're seeing threats. We're seeing rivalries again. And
finally, I mean, right? Really, finally.
Well, if you really want to call it a rivalry, Ross is just kind of like, well, you know, I kind of had it coming. So kudos to him, though. But at the same time, I'm just happy that we're seeing some super aggressive driving. We're seeing some passion in these drivers yet again. Some character, mind you. Like, it's almost as if, like, we've been, you know, people have been dying for this out of race car drivers for a long time. Yeah. And here it is. So, you know, but as if they are even, I'm with Ross on this one. It's like, who knows, you know? It's like, it's really up to Denny. And, you know, Denny said that he'll continue doing this, or he'll continue racing like this until he's given the respect that he's earned. And I think Ross is doing the best he can. I think he just can't help himself sometimes. So who knows? And he's not just targeting Ross. He was also referenced Alex Bowman, saying that he got wrecked a few months ago in the last 10 months. And he did goodbye Alex Bowman for the lead at Martinsville last year. So I don't know. As long as there's aggressive driving around, I guess Denny Hamlin's just going to keep putting folks in the wall. Who knows?
Yeah, I love this. It reminds me of two dogs. One of them that wants to play all the time. It has full of energy and everything. And the other one's just wants to take a nap. And I feel like that's Ross Chastain. He's just like, meh. I mean, he's going to get me back. And then Hamlin's like, I'm going to beat the living, you know what, out of him. And I don't give a, you know, I mean, that's what it kind of feels like. But I love what you said. I love the rivalries. I don't love the generic, we had a fast car. I like to thank everybody at the shop, you know, and let's go get them next week. No, I want to see real emotion. And I think this is great for the sport. It builds personalities. I mean, this is Ross Chastain. It's second full-time year, first full-time year. I mean, there's so much stuff in my brain I don't really remember, but I mean, he's making himself a big time name in not just racing, but overall sports. So that being said, we need stuff like this to happen. We need these rivalries. And I absolutely love what I'm seeing from this rivalry, and hopefully it continues. And I wouldn't be surprised if Hamlin gets into him again, and maybe Ross will get back, and then it goes back and forth and back and forth. We'll just have to wait and see. What we have been seeing, though, is Chase Elliott, and that's going back to victory lane. And I know that he doesn't want to celebrate this or really count it. It's still going to go under the record books, Dalton, as a win, and that's number four on the season. So with all as much parity as we've had in the Cup Series this year, can we firmly put him as the championship favorite so far this year?
Absolutely. A couple weeks ago, I made the literally just no, I'm sorry, probably about a month ago, I made an argument on Thinking Out Loud about how nobody has really broken away from the pack. I think it was after Tyler Reddick won at Road America, and nobody has really broken away from the pack. There was still only two wins was the most wins that anybody had gotten all year, and it was divided amongst five drivers. Like, this is easily one of the most, if not the most, competitive seasons we've had in the modern era. I mean, this is, it's incredible. I don't think anybody would argue with me on that. But we also, now we're seeing, it's so weird because, like, as soon as I wrote that, here comes Chase Elliott breaking away, winning at Atlanta. And he can argue that, no, oh yeah, we didn't actually win the race. We finished third. All he wants to, I think that's just a credit to how competitive he is and how much he kind of just beats on himself for on his own performance and how much of a perfectionist he is. But he still got the win. He still ran up front. He still ran pretty well all race long. I mean, no, he didn't finish first, but legally he did. So that's got to count for something, right? And now he's got two more wins than the next most. So I think it really says something about that number 19 that, and they came out of the woodwork too. I mean, when was their first win? Was it Dover? I think it was Dover.
It was Dover,
right?
And then I think they got Nashville as well. And then that just continued on that streak.
Yeah. And it was just like, it was kind of late. Everyone was saying, oh man, when's this 19 going to start winning races again? Because he can only win on road courses. He only won on road courses last year, so he can't win on ovals. And then he shut everyone up, and then he won at Dover. And then he shut everyone up again, and he won at Nashville. And now he's only won at road, or he's only won at ovals ever since. So I think it's a credit to this 19. They've really just shown up amongst all this pressure, and now they're the leader. I think I have to agree with the idea that, yeah, he's the guy that we have to watch right now. He's he's finished first or second every race for the last five races. Yeah. I mean, what an incredible statistic. And especially in such a competitive field, he's the guy I'm looking at right now. And he's the guy I'm picking every single week to win the race.
I mean, Dalton, five top two finishes in the past 5 weeks. That never happens, especially in today's day and age where there's so much parity. Absolutely incredible. I have to agree with you. I think he's got to be the favorite. But then again, it's who saw it at the right time. That's what this playoff picture is. Couple more things here, Dalton, before we dive into our interview with Chase Purdy. Saturday, I was out on the river, so I did not get to see qualifying or anything. So then I got home late on Saturday night, and I was watching qualifying, and a big, big wreck by Kurt Busch came out Sunday morning. He had a concussion. Ty Gibbs was placed into the 45 car. We'll talk about Ty Gibbs in a little bit. Let's talk about Kurt Busch, though. Obviously, 45 years old. He's getting up there in age. But let's talk about his playoff chances, because he is the last guy that is in the playoff race that only has the one win. So let's say we get 16 winners. A guy comes from, let's say it's Martin Truex Jr. or Ryan Blaney. It would knock out Kurt Busch. So with that being said, what does this do to Kurt Busch's playoff chances, Dalton?
I think as long as he's got that waiver, I think he's going to be okay. The thing is that Kurt Busch, what I'm more worried about is if he's going to be okay for next weekend. Concussions, that's no joke. And I mean, especially anybody who's a Dale Jr. fan, like I am, but anybody who's a Dale Jr. fan, is probably saying, oh man, that's no joke. Like, you have to be careful with those. And it's true. And I really hope that Kurt's able to recover easily, and he's able to feel confident about going to Michigan and feeling confident enough to run up front there. And not to mention, like, I hope he's not, jarred or scared or anything like that. I hope that doesn't affect his driving at all. But as far as Kurt goes, it's like you said, or his playoff chances go, it's like you said, we have only two slots left, and we have a few races and some very competitive drivers on the verge of winning. You mentioned Blaney and Truex. I'm looking at Kevin Harvick too. He's looking pretty strong. Also, we could have some surprise winners, especially at Daytona. We have Chris Buescher. Bubba Wallace has been running pretty well too.
Hell, Michael Buescher, McDowell, you get the job done this weekend. I mean, he was great at Sonoma, Dalton. You never know.
Absolutely. It's looking like that. We have some seriously competitive drives coming up. That are competitive drivers that are still have not won yet. And it's like they're on the verge, and they have plenty of opportunities winning. Michael McDowell needs that win, like you said, and he could do it at Indy Road Course this weekend. And I think that, Kevin Harvick's run really well at Michigan in the past. He could run really well at Michigan. So yeah, he's definitely got to look out for himself. And if he really wants to stay competitive, he's going to have to get back at it. He's going to have to get back, hit the ground running again. And it's so hard to do after you come back from a concussion.
Meanwhile, his substitute driver being Ty Gibbs, very impressed with him. 16th place, was battling for top 15. He got loose in turn one, final couple of laps, settled for 18th, but due to Denny Hamlin and Kyle Busch being disqualified with Chase Elliott winning, he got to move up to 16th. Your thoughts on his debut, and then does his performance move up the timetable for his Cup debut?
I think Joe Gibbs and Denny Hamlin and everyone at 2311 Racing know exactly what they're doing. They knew that if for any reason, a driver was not able to race, Ty Gibbs is going to be the number one guy they're going to have in the car. And I mean, and for good reason too. He has shown so much speed in such a short amount of time. And I think that, you know, even though Kurt is, you know, still running pretty competitively, yeah, they have to kind of look at that idea as well, you know, there's a chance that he, once he leaves, Ty Gibbs is going to get in the car. And that's why I was really surprised when they announced that Tyler Reddick was going to be with 2311, in 2024. And I was like, wow, what about Ty Gibbs? Because I feel like he's kind of the next guy in line to take over one of those rides, unless 2311 expands to a 3-car team. So who knows? And, but as far as his performance went, I thought it was so funny that they're under the pace laps, and then his crew chief said, "Oh yeah, we need to. We're gonna put you a few seconds back, just so you can get the feel of the car, just so you can kind of warm up to the idea of running these new next gen cars." Because he was just I don't think he knew completely. He had an idea, but he didn't know completely that he was gonna be in that car until like 1 a.m.
Yeah.
that morning. So it's so crazy that he was able to adapt like that, and then not to mention. Then he ran in the top 15, didn't stay there, finished 18th on the track, and then he, you know, got relegated to a 16th place finish. But a very impressive performance for a guy who's had very little experience, if any at all. I don't think he had any before in one of those next gen cars and amongst what is the best stock car drivers in the world.
Yeah, I was very impressed with him. I mean, like you said, got the call at 1 a.m., was in the simulator, then he got flown to Pocono. I mean, it's kind of telling when you have John Hunter Nemechek at the track and you still go with the guy in Ty Gibbs that's all the way back in North Carolina. It's a little telling that they're very, very high on the young talent. Last but not least, let's talk about his grandpa and Joe Gibbs talking. Went over to Kyle Busch after he finished second, and a little bit of a dust, a little bit of a cold shoulder by the number 18. And I think this is a little telling, mainly just because of what we saw after the race with Parker Klegerman with the 18. He was a little bit jovial with Parker, and I know that Parker used to drive for Kyle and everything, so maybe that could be it. But he's usually not that jovial after he finishes second. There's been all these kind of rumors and everything. He's obviously, according to some of the sources that I've heard, they can't find a deal for JGR because they can't find sponsorship. Is this the end, Dalton? Is this the end of Joe Gibbs and Kyle Busch in the 18 run?
I think they're looking at every single race that Kyle Busch runs right now. And his Pocono performance was one of the highlights I was going to hit on my column was, look at this. He finished second place. He ran really well all day long. Look at how fast he is. He's had some pretty tough finishes the last few weeks. And then he gets disqualified. That certainly didn't help his chances. I mean, he still ran really well. That doesn't really take away that argument. But I think they're looking at any possible motive to sit there and say, yeah, Kyle Busch, you know, here's the reason why maybe we shouldn't spend so much money on Kyle Busch. And Kyle's arguing, no, on KFB, actually, I can do this. This is why I'm so much better than this guy and this guy and this guy. So as far as if this is the end, you know, it's so hard to say. And that's why they can't come to a conclusion right now. JGR has said that they want him so bad, and for very good reasons. He's one of the best drivers in the world right now. They want him so bad in the car, but okay, if Kyle just feels like he's being given the cold shoulder, like he did, like what happened on the pit road after the race, he's KFB. He'll move on. I don't think he cares. And there are plenty of other teams that'll supplement that. They'll put him in the car, and they will do it with an honest to God smile on their face too.
I'm just saying, you have a team that is a 4-car operation that one of their drivers has been sponsored by their own owner, and he's not afraid to sponsor a KFB in one of his cars. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see maybe a little bit of a Stuart Haas to Kyle Busch, maybe Harvick and Kyle Busch on the same team. I don't know, but we're just gonna have to stay tuned. Dalton, stay right there, my dude. We're gonna be diving into the IMS road course in just a moment, but right now let's dive into my interview that I conducted with the driver of the number 61 truck, Chase Purdy. Right now, folks, at this time, I'm going to bring into the program, he was born in Tuscaloosa, which means Roll Tide, but now he cheers for the opposition. Ole Miss with the Rebels.
He came from the K&N Pro Series East all the way to the Truck Series from GMS, and now with Hattori Racing, Chase Purdy joins the Front Stretch Podcast with Brian Owen. Chase, what is going on, my friend? I had to start out with a little college football because it's just about that time of year where you got college football up in full swing of things, and I've heard that the SEC is, it's a different kind of atmosphere. You went to Ole Miss. You were born and raised in Tuscaloosa, so for me, that is on the opposite side of the country. What is SEC football country like?
Yeah, no, it's definitely an experience in itself. You know, I was born in Tuscaloosa, but then an hour away, I was raised in a town called Berea, Mississippi, which is like 10 minutes from the state line of Alabama. But it's, you know, that's a hard one for me, right? Because I grew up an Alabama fan, went to all the games as a kid. My parents and my family members went to Bama, so I went to Ole Miss. last minute choice, but I do love Ole Miss. I love Oxford. I love the town. I love the people there, and I love Lane Kiffin. So you know, it's just different in the SEC. There's no other place like it. It's really hard to explain. It's just a bigger, crazier, more electric atmosphere, if you ask me.
Now, you have Lane Kiffin on your pit sign. Does he know about this, and have you talked to him at all about that?
Yeah, he knows about it. He has seen it. Last year, when I decided to pick him, put his face as my pit stop sign, I thought, man, he'd probably get a kick out of that, and he did. He thought it was funny, so... I've just kept it. I did tweet out at him that if he wanted to change it, or if he had a certain picture in mind that he could, I suggested it would be the golf ball that the Tennessee fans threw him last year. we'll see if he bites on that and thinks that'd be a good idea. But no, he definitely saw it. He thought it was funny. And yeah, I'm glad he likes it.
Let's dive into your season. Obviously, not the best season by any stretch of the imagination, but you're getting better, it feels like, as the races, as the season goes on. Your overall thoughts on your season so far and just the improvement you've seen from yourself and the team so far?
There's been frustrating times, right? The season opener was not my best day, probably the worst day I've ever had in motorsports in my career. You know, had something that was totally out of our hands happen, and we had to miss the race. I've never missed a race or run a last chance race in my life, and I've run the Derby and some of the biggest races in the country, and I've always qualified in. But to have something that's just out of your control happen sucks. And then, you know, after that, it's, you know, you got to pull yourself together and try and make the best of it. And that's what we tried to do. You know, we're 15th of points, and that's with missing a race completely. So if you ask me, that's, you know, not horrible, but, you know, I'm proud of how we've been finishing races here lately. Obviously, I don't like where we're finishing, but, you know, neither does anybody else on my team, and we all have, you know, the plan to win. You know, everybody goes to the racetrack and wants to do their best, you know, and they work their asses off, so... it's not a lack of effort, and, you know, they've been really patient with me, and, you know, we're just been growing together. So, you know, I think that as races go on, we're just going to continue to get better. We had a really fast truck in Pocono. We needed better track position, so we were way faster than 11th, but, you know, we're getting there, and I think that is worth something, and is always good to have going on, because if you're not doing anything and you're not getting any better, then you're just kind of stuck. But we are definitely getting better.
Chase Purdy, driver of the number 61 truck, joins the program here. Chase, you drove for GMS part-time in 2020, full-time 2021. Now you're diving in to the 61 truck with Hattori. What's the biggest difference that you have seen with this group compared to GMS?
Night and day. Yeah, it. I mean, it's GMS. When I was over there, was a really big team. You know, you had five trucks. That's crazy. You know, now over here at Hattori, we have two, and you know we're I'm on the second team, so we're getting through all the bumps and bruises that it takes to start up a new team. But you know, it's just I love working with the people over there. I'm close with everyone over there.
Organization is just run completely different.
Yeah, so and I like the fact that it's a smaller team. Everybody knows each other. It's not there's not too many people. And I think that's what was going on over maybe at GMS. You know, I have people that I'm still close with and talk to over there at GMS. So nothing against them. It's just everybody has their opinion and thinks differently.
Now I've talked with a few drivers, Grant Enfinger, a couple of times, as well as Ben Rhodes, and we were talking about just kind of the lack of respect back in the field. Now, you have been in that gaggle of trucks, whether it's 8th, 10th, 12th, 15th or so, and it feels like on a single week that you got 6 or 7 trucks, and then the rest of the field is just trying to gain as much track position, and the trucks are just so even that basically what you have to do is just wreck someone and it becomes a wreck fest. From your point of view, what is this racing like? Is it too much wrecking? Is it just hard, tough racing? From your point of view, Chase, what has this kind of racing been like this year?
I think that, when you're back there, it's frustrating because most of the time, pretty much all the time, we're faster than the guys back there that we get put by somehow or something happens, and you end up further back than you want to be. And with lack of practice and whatever, that's part of what happens. I there's definitely no respect back there. I can tell you that. I wonder all the time, like, we can just race each other with respect and be cleaner and whatnot, then we could probably have pretty good racing back there and it'd be clean. But it is a different style of racing versus the top 10, 12 guys versus the guys that are 14th through whatever. It's just a completely different style of racing. Obviously, I'd much rather be up front racing with those guys because they race with a lot more respect and are a lot cleaner. But when you're back there, you can't exactly be clean. It feels like, you have to be aggressive and you have to do what you can early because, it's ruthless back there. So, I think Grant said that, nails it.
I mean, Grant went to even bigger measures. He told the Front Stretch podcast a couple weeks ago that NASCAR should probably step in and say, if you caused multiple wrecks, you should go to the back of the field for the next race to send a message. So in your opinion, do you think that NASCAR should step in and be like, hey, this has got to stop. We want to see good hard racing, but we don't want to see wrecking while trying to race. You know what I mean?
Yeah, in a lot of other series, late model racing, you'll see that if you or someone were involved in an accident, you went to the back regardless.
Gotcha.
Not, there's two sides to that, right? You were either the person that got wrecked or you're the person that wrecked someone or you're just there by happenstance. And so I think that if you cause more than maybe 2 incidents in a race, then yeah, you should probably be sent back. To the back of the field. I think that would be a nice message sent to someone. It would probably make people change their minds on how they race others and how they view what they're going to do to get around someone. So I'm not totally against that. I think Grant has a pretty valid argument there.
Last but not least, Chase here. Chase Purdy joins the Front Stretch podcast. Obviously, playoffs are starting up, which means the end of the season is near. So for you, what do you need to get better with for these final few races? And then just overall, what does a successful season look like for Chase Purdy?
Oh, we got nothing to lose, so we're going to take chances. Right? Yeah. What does it matter at this point, right? We got nothing to lose, so... I have a chance to finish 11th in points, and that's what I'm going to try and do, but I have nothing to lose other than that. So we're going to try and race our asses off, and we're going to try and build and get better every week. I got a really good group of guys around me on my 61 truck, and I think we'll be running pretty solid here the next few weeks. We got a lot of racetracks in front of us that I really like, and I think we'll be contenders and competitive at.
Folks, you can follow Chase on Twitter at ChasePurdy12. You can also check out Chase and the rest of the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. They start their playoffs this upcoming Friday at IRP. You can find that on FS1. Chase, thank you so much. Good luck to your Ole Miss Rebels this season, and then good luck to you and your team on the final remaining races of 2021. And let's talk soon, my man.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Chase Purdy, driver of the number 61 truck for Hattori Racing, joins the Front Stretch Podcast with Brian Nolan.
Once again, a big thanks to Chase Purdy for taking the time. Big thanks to Josh Weinrich from Hattori for setting that up. Big thanks to all the parties involved. Can't forget Mike Bachman as well, who edits the program, puts in all the audio bits, edits all the interviews. So I can't thank you enough, Bachman. You save my butt each and every single week. Also, each and every single week is my co-host that saves my butt. And this week, who saved my butt? The man that I call Mr. Dalton Hopkins at Pitlane LT. You can follow him on the Twitter. Dalton, let's dive into the IMS road course. And I had to do a little bit of another take because I called it the Brickyard at first because I'm just so used to it. And a couple years ago, we switched and we went to the IMS road course. Actually, last year, we switched and we went to the IMS road course. Your overall thoughts, do you like it like this? Should they go back to the oval? Give me your thoughts on this upcoming weekend, my dude.
It's so hard to tell because we've only had one race on there with the Cup Series. And last year, there was some controversy.
Just a little bit, and
a little bit of the way the track was managed and some of the end of the race and some rivalries that sparked there between Hamlin, once again, who we mentioned earlier, getting mad at some of the younger guys. But, you know, I was such an advocate a few years ago about how the oval was just, it was just not producing the racing that we wanted. The fact that it was the Indianapolis Oval just wasn't enough. If it's just a boring race and only 10,000 people show up, or it's probably more than that, but I'm exaggerating, but if only so many people show up and it just looks like an empty ghost town, like, why do we even go there? What's even the point? But that was the old package. That was the old car. Now we've got the new car. And every single race, with the exception of Martinsville, every single race that we've had this year in Texas has just been phenomenal with this next-gen race car. And I would like to do a redo. I'd like to give it another chance. I really would. I think that, you know, at the beginning of the year, I kind of thought that. I was like, I wonder how the Indianapolis Oval would be with this next gen car. And it's like, well, unfortunately we'll never find out, but I would like to give it a redo. You know, I really would. I think that this car has produced the idea that, yeah, racing can be fun again. You know, these drivers, we put some talent back in the driver's hands, and Indianapolis is one heck of a racetrack, even if it's just four 90 degree right-hand turn, or excuse me, left-hand turn. So it's just, I'd like to give it another shot, but I like road courses. Don't get me wrong, but I don't know. Maybe if this one doesn't go well, maybe we go back to it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, if you could make the racing at Charlotte good, I mean, might as well try it. Like you said, Texas and Martinsville were the only two snoozers. So honestly, if this is not that good of a race and the road courses have been not the best, but obviously not terrible, let's just try something. I mean, might as well. Last year, obviously, the massive wreck with just the concrete just falling apart. And then you had Chase Briscoe and Denny Hamlin. Briscoe gets penalized. And then, I mean, it was just calamity every which way. And when it was all said and done, Adrian Allmendinger decides to I think I'm going to win this race, and gets his second career victory and first ever career victory for colleague in the Cup Series. Let's fast forward all the way to this year. Could we have a surprise winner? Could we have, I mean, I don't know if you want to call Austin Cindric a surprise winner, but Chris Busch or Michael McDowell, could we see a surprise winner on Sunday afternoon at Indianapolis, Dalton?
Every road course race we've had this year has resulted in a first-time winner.
Yeah.
So, yes, I think it's absolutely possible. I think we're seeing some of the younger guys showcase their talent and that they've learned through the ranks on these road courses. Tyler Reddick had never won on a road course before Road America. And then he beat Chase Elliott, the road course guy in the field right now, except for maybe AJ Allmendinger, but he's the guy. And he beat him fair and square, mano a mano on the racetrack. So yeah, we could see some guys rise through the ranks. I think, like you said, Michael McDowell is one guy to definitely look at right now. Chris Buescher is another guy to look at, even though it wouldn't put him in the playoffs. AJ Allmendinger, I think it was a very good pick to win this race as well. So, yeah, why not? Why wouldn't it be a surprise winner? These road courses have produced some really interesting victories this year so far.
Dalton, let's dive into our picks. Give me a dark horse and then give me your pick to win the Verizon 200 at the Brickyard on Sunday at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway road course, my friend.
Who could even be considered a dark horse anymore?
I mean, honestly, though, you're not wrong. I mean, might as well just give me two picks for the win because, I mean, everything is so much
equalized.
Exactly. Thank you. So much is equal. I mean, what is really considered a dark horse anymore?
I really don't know, but I think I would, if I'm going to pick somebody as a dark horse, and I'm air quoting here, I'm going to pick somebody as a dark horse, it's probably going to be Michael McDowell, especially with the recent announcement that came out. Let's see here. I'm checking my watch or checking my clock here. 2 hours ago, it was announced that they were given an L2 penalty. Excuse me. And they were docked 100 points. And now they've suddenly face all this adversity. I think Michael McDowell and that team is going to be so fired up, and they see this race as an opportunity to come back, especially with McDowell's success on a road course in the past. They're going to be great. I think they were third at Sonoma, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong. I'm just trying to remember, but
they're in the top five. I know that
they were running well, let's put it that way.
So yes, exactly.
They were running well. So I'm going to pick them as my dark horse. And I think for my actual race pick, I'm really taking a guess here. I'm really taking it with a long shot here, but I'm going to go with Chase Elliott. I know, right? Man, what a long shot, but no, he's that team, as we've seen the last few weekends, have the momentum. They're riding on it right now. Chase might not feel that way, but they're riding on the momentum, and he's the road course guy. He may not have won a road course so far this year, but he's been right there the whole time. So I think he's my guy to pick for this weekend.
For my dark horse, I'm going to go with a guy that's won already this year, but he's been struggling a little bit. Finished fifth at Sonoma. Austin Cindric is going to be my guy. I'm going to be doing a dark horse pick. Obviously, his dad, Tim Cindric, works with the Penske and the IndyCar department, so obviously he knows IMS very, very well. You could also consider this guy a dark horse, but I'm going to go with Chris Buescher. I think the 17 car, I think he's going to surprise it, and we're going to have our 15th different winner, Dalton. I think we're going to shake up the point standings even more. I think Chris Buescher gets the job done and gets the first ever points win for RFK Racing and Brad Keselowski.
You know, I'm really surprised neither one of us picked for either choice. Neither one of us picked Chase Briscoe.
Yeah, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised either. I could see that happening.
Yeah, he's I think he'd be a guy that would be something to pick, but sticking with my guns though.
I love it. I love it. Let's dive into some final thoughts and let's wave this checkered flag, my friend.
Checkered flag, here I come. Oh, no!
Final thoughts are in the air. Anything you want to rant or rave about, now is the time to do so. Dalton, just what's on your mind before we wrap up shop, my friend?
You know, I think I'm mostly just, what an incredible weekend for Pocono as a whole. You know, I went into that weekend thinking, Pocono. But you know, I still kept my head up, still stayed optimistic, and I'm really glad I did. You know, Pocono, I saw a stat earlier today that Pocono's race on Sunday was the most passes on a Cup Series oval race since 2015, and I don't know how true that is, but I saw that statistic and I'm like, is that true? Like, is that seriously like actually a thing? But I imagine, you know, them fanning out seven wide is, you know, probably one of the main reasons. So, and not to mention the fan turnout, I think they broke a record this weekend or something like that. The crowd, the infield was sold out. The grandstands were looking really great. Man, great for the, thank you, Pocono fans. Thank you for showing up and showing your support for your racetrack, especially in this time where schedules are getting changed left and right. Man, I'm just happy to see that that track is thriving. I may not have, you know, liked it that much in the past, but it produced a great race on Sunday. And you know what? More power to them.
For younger race car drivers, they think they're invincible. They think nothing will happen to them. But as you get older, as you get wiser, you realize that is not always the case. When he was probably 20 or 21, Kurt Busch probably had a concussion before. Kurt Busch is now 45 years old, and he realizes that time is not on his side as a professional NASCAR driver. And when he went into the doctors, he could have lied and said everything's fine. He doesn't see any stars or he doesn't see any dizziness, but he decided to be truthful. And for that, I commend him. Because in today's day and age, what we saw with Dale Earnhardt Jr., what we've seen with Casey Kane and his health issues, it's not just, it's not embarrassing anymore. It's actually respectable. And for what he did, it was a chance. He could have disappointed his fans. He could have disappointed his sponsors. He could have disappointed his team. And for some of those people, he probably did, which is a shame. But most of those people, they accept that because he is taking care of himself. And the brain, you have to take care of that your entire life. You can't just rest like you rest an arm, like you rest a leg. Your brain, if it's permanently damaged, it will affect you for the rest of your life. And for what Kurt Busch did, it's commendable. A massive, massive, massive congratulations to Kurt Busch for taking time and focusing on himself and not just the others. What remains to be seen with Kurt Busch? I don't know. Hopefully he'll get better. However, take care of yourself and you'll be back before you know it. I'm proud of you, Kurt Busch. Dalton, last thing here before we let you go. Any final thoughts, my friend? Anything you want to tell with the viewers? Give your social media handle. What are you cooking up on frontstretch.com? When's your next race? Give it to the people right here, my man.
Well, folks, if you're really interested and you really like listening to the sweet, soothing sound of my voice, you can follow me on Twitter at PitLaneLT. That's PitLane, actual letters, LT. I'll be out of Daytona, and then I'll be at Darlington the week after. But you can follow me. I'll do Thinking Out Loud every single weekend. So, check and I, where I kind of just, you know, do a race report slash, you know, rant and rave for a little bit for 1500 words. So if you like that kind of stuff, you'll like my content, but, make sure to give me a follow. And, I really hope to see you on the comment section.
I love it. And his podcast, folks, I listened to part two a couple weeks ago when I was at work. Highly recommend it. Once again, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Rebuilding Brandon Brown, part one and part two already up there. I would assume, Dalton, the other two parts are going to be up fairly soon. Dalton, it's always a pleasure, buddy. You are a superstar, like I keep saying. We're going to have you on in a couple months, my friend. And actually, we may just have you on either after Daytona and preview Darlington, since you're going to be at both those races. A little combination of the two. So let's just plan on that, my dude. And we can go from there, bro.
Sounds good, Brian. I'm really looking forward to it. Thank you.
Dalton Hopkins, Front Stretch reporter, once again at Pitlane LT. You can follow me on Twitter at TheBrianOl. And once again, Stock Car Scoop podcast every single Wednesday, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify today. Next week on the program, oh, folks, it's going to be one of a kind. Yes, you know him. Yes, you sometimes dread him, but Michael Massey will be on the program. Also, Daniel Hemric from Colleague Racing. He's also going to be on. We're going to be talking the differences between JGR and Colleague, what his life has been like ever since he won the championship, and so much more. It's going to be fun. I can't wait, but you're just going to have to wait and stay tuned. Once again, big thanks to Dalton. Big thanks to Chase Purdy, and big thanks to all of our listeners. We couldn't do it without you. So for Dalton, I'm Brian Olin. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll talk to you next week. See you then.